This is not a usual place for me up here. I'm usually hidden in an office back up there somewhere, and so behind everybody instead of out front. I do want to say the pastor asked me if I would be the assistant teacher. I know Bobby Sparks has been the teacher and the assistant teacher for many years, and he's done a wonderful job. And Scott is a great teacher. And I think the pastor asked me to be assistant because he wants you to appreciate Scott all the more. So after today, you'll really thank God you got Scott as a teacher. Today's lesson is the warnings about idolatry. Last week, Scott spoke on warnings about adultery or sexual sins, but this week it's on idolatry. And I like to call it deliverance from Egypt, which is what it is. When I was going to choose what to read up here, because I didn't know how good the lighting was, because I've not been up here much, I didn't use my regular Bible, because it's just itty bitty bitty print, and boy, you need some good light. Well, I found the one that's got giant print, not large print, giant print. So I can read this. Okay, I was checking. Now, today's lesson comes out of Corinthians again. This time it's the 10th chapter. Now, Corinth was considered to be a very wealthy city. It was partway down the Greece. You had the northern half and the southern half, and it was on a little isthmus, which is a small piece of land with water coming in from both sides from the Mediterranean. So a lot of boats and ships would take a shortcut through there, and so the town was full of sailors. And if you know anything about sailors on leave, there's a lot of immorality. So that is what Corinth was, a city. And it also had at least three temples. It was a town that was known for its temples and its idols, the most prominent of which was Aphrodite, or as the Roman god was Venus, the very similar. So Rome ruled this area, so some called it Venus, some called it Aphrodite, but they had the temple. And it was a mainstay of the city. There were all kinds of parties, all kinds of sacrifices that went on there. And a lot of them even had meals there during the sacrifices. And so this was a normal part of their life, to participate. And you had people that lived there their whole lives, and this is the way they lived their lives. Very similar to Israel. Israel was in Egypt 400 years. And they were around idol worship all their lives. That was all they knew. But when God delivered them, they were supposed to leave the idols behind. And all of us, when we come to Christ, we're supposed to leave the idols behind. Now, Paul, when he came to Corinth, this was on his second missionary journey, and he spent about 1.5 years there teaching and preaching and getting the church together. That's a long time. This is the second longest stay at any of the churches. The longest church was Ephesus. Corinth, he spent 1.5 years. That's a long time. It wasn't an itinerant preacher that just came, preached a few, and then left. He stayed and discipled. He discipled all these people. You know, he didn't just, when you read about Paul, he was one of the most learned people of his day. So I'm sure he poured Old Testament scripture. They didn't have New Testament, but he poured the Old Testament scripture and how everything in the Old Testament related to Christ. And that's the backdrop for what this lesson. And, you know, the question is, one of the things that on the lesson plan, there were a lot of the towns in Asia and there in Greece that had idol worship. This wasn't just something there in Corinth, but it was throughout the whole area. And why did he address this to Corinth? You know, you have to ask that. There were some practices going on by people in the church where they were going back. They were participating in some of the things they weren't supposed to be participating in. Just like today's church. Even though we've called Christ, some of us have a tendency to go back and participate in some of the same things that we have done. And he's called the people to separate themselves. And so Paul, you know, he considered all these different people his children. He really did. Because in one of these places, he calls them my beloved. He loved his children. He considered all those who came to Christ under his ministry to be his children. And he wanted them to prosper. He wanted to point them to Christ. And so he kept, when people would come to him from different areas, he wanted to, how are my children doing in Corinth? How are my children doing in Ephesus? And when he heard these things, it grieved his heart. And he had to address them. It's just like the pastor, if he hears stuff that he knows about each of us, if he hears things, he wants to address them, that we would be drawn closer to God. And so some of the people here had continued to participate with meals and parties at the temple. And so what Paul did, he used examples of Israel's wilderness wanderings as examples to warn them. Just because you have known Christ, if you go back, you will not be spared. And what this is what the scripture is about today. You know, it took Israel 40 years to get where they needed to be. How long does it take us to get where we need to be with Christ? You know, they could have saved a lot of heartache if they'd went straight through. But because of their issues, they didn't. And the same thing with us. We could be a whole lot closer to God. We could do the things we need to do for God, except we have our failings. First off, I wanted to read from Exodus 21 through 5. You know, a lot of times when you have scripture, God could give us the condensed version, such as his Ten Commandments, and that should be enough. But unfortunately, we people, we need gobs and gobs of examples in order for us to learn. And the same thing goes with the Corinthians. They didn't want to follow. So I'm going to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, where the first commandment. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now I want to go to 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6. I may say words, but this God's word speaks deeper. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you would be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. You know, although most of the people in Corinth were Gentiles, you had Romans, Gentiles, and Jews. Most of them were Gentiles. And I'm sure Paul fed to them the history of Israel. And Paul used the illustration of what happened to Israel to let them know what can happen to them. You know, the cloud and the sea, where it talks about they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. You know, that's kind of a strange saying, but they were immersed. You know, this was their deliverance. Like most of us, when we became Christians, to signify we were baptized, that to put the old self behind, a new creature has been raised. The same thing here, these people are immersed. When they saw the cloud before them, they were to stay if the cloud stopped, and if the cloud went, they were to move. They were to follow, they were immersed. In the sea, when they were delivered out of Egypt, they were immersed, they were beneath the level of the ocean. At that point, the Red Sea. And that's what it's talking about here. This was their deliverance from Egypt. Our deliverance from Egypt was signified by our baptism. This was their baptism. And then when it talks about, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. Before they left Egypt, they had the Passover. All the Israelites, they participated. They had the blood of the Lamb, which is Christ, applied to their doorpost. They all ate of the meat, which was the Lamb, which is Christ. And just like when we have communion, it is Christ. The symbolism. They all ate of the same meat. They all drank of the same drink. Also, Israel ate of the manna, which is God supplied, was the meat of Christ. They all drank from the water, because when Moses smote the rock and they had water in the desert, they all drank that they did not die. And so these things, Paul says, relate to all the Jewish people and us both. Just like their Passover, their one drinks with the water and the manna, we have the communion with the blood and, you know, with the wine and the bread, the unleavened bread. You know, and then Paul says that even after observing all this power of God, people can still be lost. You know, they saw this. They saw the cloud for years. They saw the cloud just leading them. I mean, the wonder of making it through the Red Sea. What an imprint upon you that should make. I thought, wow, what a God we serve. That he's able to do this. And the same thing applies to us. When we come to Christ, he forgives our sins, and we leave Egypt. What a God we serve. When we hear God speak through, you know, interpretations, and when he speaks to us, we see his God speaking to our hearts. What power. But yet, we're drawn back to Egypt. And that's the examples that Paul uses here shortly. then I want to go on to verses 7 through 11. Neither be ye idolaters. I have trouble with that word. I'd say idolaters or idolaters, as some of them. And as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, for they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The first evil Israel committed here was worshiping the golden calf. While Moses was up on Mount Sinai, the people murmured, and Aaron got all their earrings and gold and formed a golden calf. And they said, behold, the golden calf was brought us out of Egypt. God was incensed. He brought Moses down from the mount. You know, saying that the false God had delivered them. You know, it's just like saying that I'm saved. You know, people here that aren't Christians, they said that you can educate people enough. You can't. I've got a lot of education. In fact, I've got what they call a terminal degree. I went as far as you can go and kick you out, but because there's no more education after a doctor's degree. You can get another one, but you can't get, that's it. Education can't save you. Intellect can't deliver you. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care if you're Musk. Intellect can't deliver you. Can do some good things, it can do some bad things, but it can't save you. You know, and here Paul is letting them know that some of the people that were prominent in the Corinthian church were still participating in the feast at the temples. They sat, they ate, and they participated. The question is, why? You know, this was a social area for the people. You know, they grew up this being a social area. And this may have been where a lot of financial things were carried out. And some of the people, this may have been part of their finance that was taking place there. And just if we become a Christian, if some of even our finance, we have to sacrifice some of the things that draw us, the things we shouldn't do. We have to separate ourselves. Because, you know, I was thinking about medical and nursing. I know nurses sometimes are put in a place where they're given the choice to either participate in abortion. You know, they may be placed where they have to say, well, you have to assist here. This is part of your training. And part of the doctors, this is part of your training. But the Christian has to say, no, I can't. And there's other things that I can't participate in those things. And the same thing goes with all of us and, you know, our different jobs. You may be asked to do things that you can't do. The second evil was sexual immorality with the daughters of Moab and participating in sacrifices, because this was written here at, and they had over 20,000 people died from that. That's a lot of people. Paul and Scott, I'm equating the two, right? But Scott talked about that last week. And the third sinful practice mentioned here was tempting God or tempting Christ. And this refers to Numbers 21. I'm not going there. You know, they got discouraged along the way. Trials came up, and they got discouraged. And they started doubting God. How often do we do the same? Some trials come up, some temptations come up, and we doubt, wow, are you able to get me through this? And they doubted the full faithfulness of God, and many died. And the fourth evil practice, murmuring and complaining. What does that mean? Well, when I was looking through this, there were so many references to murmuring and complaining with Israel. This was a constant practice. It looked like, if you look in Exodus, it seemed like every time you turn around, they were murmuring and complaining. And hopefully that's not here. I hope not. But murmuring is when we speak of, you know, complaint to, you know, just, boy, I don't know if we can do this, or I don't know, is the pastor leading us the right way? Or is our teacher teaching us right? Or that doesn't help anything. You know, it's demonstrating disagreement and dissatisfaction with the way God and Moses were leading. And I hope that we don't show disagreement and dissatisfaction with our leaders. Because what we need to do is pray for them. Because what they need is guidance. Because, you know, I looked at some of the things that murmuring and complaining do. It does nothing to fix the situation. Absolutely nothing. It shows that we forget what God has done. It deteriorates your faith and your testimony. Because if you speak to other people about, I just don't know, what does that do about people's faith in your church, in your leadership? It causes doubts. It also gives Satan an opportunity to sneak up on us and destroy our lives. It really does. Because Satan will try to implant things, just like he did in the Garden of Eden with Eve. Did he really say? We start to have doubts, wonders, and there's murmurings, complaining. So this was one of the evil practices. And then it talks about the destroyer. Many people died. You know, in fact, only a couple of the people survived the 40 years in the wilderness and made it. And so, as Paul says here, these were his examples that God gave us. He chose to write this in the Old Testament. You know, a lot of the books that are not religious, they tried to paint a rosy picture of the people, how good they were, what good things they did. That's not what God wrote in Old Testament, New Testament. He tells us like it is. He tells us of the moral failings. He tells us the trouble they had. And the reason he does that is to let us know that, yeah, they had problems, but they overcame. And the next part I wanted to go to is verses 12 and 13, where it says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. This verse 12, this is pride. If a person thinks he can stand on his own and doesn't need Christ to help him stand, that's pride. pride goeth before a fall. And when I look at Paul, where he wrote in verse 27 of 9, you know, the ninth chapter, he says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest but that by all means, when I have preached to others, I myself be a castaway." Paul did not want to, he did not think he was capable of making it on his own. Wow. If Paul didn't think he could make it on his own, then you had Peter with the example where he denied Christ three times. He told Christ, "I will stand with you," but denied him three times. He had walked with Christ for 3 years, and he still denied. But he was depending on his own self. And that's what it goes on here. We can't depend on ourselves. We have to lean on Christ. Yes, you're going to have temptations. Not from God, because we're drawn of our own lust. And that's where the temptation comes. Because they're going to come. But we have to lean on Christ. Because if we lean on Him, then no temptation is going to take us. Going on to verse 14 through 22. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, see why I told you, my dearly beloved, these were his children. Flee from idolatry. Not just walk, stay away from it. Because it will destroy you. It will draw you in. I speak as to the wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless is not unto the communion of the blood of Christ. The blood which we break, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered is sacrificed to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? You know, when each of us, when we, the pastor is very careful when we partake of communion. All of us, he reads scripture, and we're to reflect. He asks us to reflect, to look inward. Are my sins under the blood of Christ? Have I been washed? And just like Jewish Israelis, They, as I said, they partook of the Passover lamb. They also, what it talks about here is, after they got into Israel and they set up the temple, they had sacrifices, which they made. And they sat down and partook of the time with this, you know, when they had the sacrifices and some of the food that was scattered, and they had meals together. And just like we have communion, we become one body in Christ when we partake. Because when it talks about one body, we are all one body with Jewish people, with the Passover. We're one body with the believers in Corinth. We're one body with each of the churches that lift up Christ. When we partake of communion, we're saying, I can't do it on myself, Lord. I realize that you sacrificed for me. Your blood was sacrificed for me. Your flesh was destroyed for me. And that's the same thing. And you can't participate in things of the world and come in and have communion. This should really feel it when you're reflecting at communion, that I can't have participation with devils and with Christ. It's one or the other. And which do you choose? We have to choose Christ. And that's what he was telling these people here in Corinth. Yes, you may be very prominent people. You may be some of the wealthier people in the church. That's not what we need. You know, a lot of people equate blessings of God with wealth and possessions. It's not. Because possessions won't save you. A lot of people consider that if you're blessed by God, you're going to be wealthy. There are preachers that preach this. And there's a lot of people that believe it, not just preachers, that, wow, aren't they blessed of God? Not necessarily. Because if you look at some of the Old Testament, people, you know, it's harder to get through an eye of a needle, you know, camel get through an eye of a needle than for a wealthy man to get into heaven. Because they will trust in their wealth. They will trust in their intellect and not Christ. And God wants us to trust in him because that's the only way we're going to make it. And then on the rest of this chapter, what Paul is writing about is, yes, the idols are nothing. The food that is sacrificed to the idols is nothing. And in this day, they had issues because a lot of the food that was open for sale in the market had been sacrificed to idols, whether it be meat or grain. And some of the people had questions. What were they to eat? If they couldn't eat from food that was sacrificed to idols, because the people that, I guess the priest, they had their portion. And some of the portion that they had, they would sell on the market. And that's a lot of time what was available on the market. So what were the Christians to do? What were they to eat from? And this latter part, Paul talks about, don't ask if you're in the market. You know, was this, you know, you shouldn't come up and say, was this offered to idols? Well, if it is, I can't eat it. But if they come up and say, well, this is offered to idols, then well, you shouldn't eat it. But don't ask, because it really is nothing. But what you're doing is destroying your testimony. Well, you're causing doubt in your own self that, yes, you have to eat. Some of it may have been, but don't attend the feast where there's idols. Don't attend the feast where they're sacrificing to the idols. Just like I can't go to a bar with some of the guys, and if they're talking about business to get more money, I can't go there. That's not a place to be. It's going to destroy your testimony. You'll have none. And that'll be a familiar place to you. Because just like I said earlier, what I call this is a deliverance from Egypt. When Christ saved us, he delivered us from sin. Egypt was considered sin, bondage. Israel was under bondage. And when we're under sin, we're under bondage. And Christ is our Savior from bondage. And that's what Paul is relating to Corinth. Don't go back into bondage. Don't get close to bondage. Get as far away from bondage as you can get. But we all have temptations to get closer back to things that we shouldn't be. Be careful. Flee from it. Well, that's, you'll have a few extra minutes. I'm usually done a few minutes early. As I was telling somebody, as a doctor, I always talk for about 15 minutes. That's about it. So this was long for me. Because usually if I spent that, I was so far behind if I spent longer. But thank you, and Scott will be teaching next week, okay? Thank you.